Amen. This morning we want to spend some time looking at this chapter 2 and looking at a mother here in the Bible. Her name is Jochebed, which means Jehovah is glory or glorious. It's not much said about her, but one thing we know about her is that she was a very good mother. A caring mother, a loving mother, a compassionate mother, a mother who took an interest in her children, a mother who was faithful to God. She was a mother who was a very interesting and impressive mother, one who believed in God and acted on that faith as a testimony to her children and to her friends. And if you're familiar with the story behind the birth of Moses, you know his mother hid him, had him for a very short time, and then she hid him away. And then she was brought out to look after him when Pharaoh's daughter found her. She only had a very short time with our son, a very little period of time to have an influence upon his life, to lead him in the right direction, to get him started on the right path in life. And how important that is for parents, for each one of us as parents here today. And even as grandparents, we never stop. It moves on in that cycle, in that generation, to lead and to guide and instruct our children in the things of God, because this world is a very wicked place, very evil place, a very ungodly place. So in this Mother's Day, I want to look at this mother here in the Bible and what an influence she had upon Moses. And, you know, I was studying for this, Thomas Edison, the great inventor, the man who invented the light bulb and I think the camera also. He had his mother for a very short time. And this is what he said about his mother. He said, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence with that has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me." And surely many of us here this morning can say such a thing about our own mothers. What an influence they were in our lives, and how we ought to thank God for our mothers and children and young people. Make sure you appreciate your mothers. Appreciate them for all they do for you. But I want to look at Jochebed this morning and draw out some lessons even from her life. Notice firstly here, as we look at this faithful mother, notice firstly her character. Her character. Jochebed was a very impressive woman. Now, I don't say that because she was somehow naturally gifted with qualities or talents that were so different from everyone else. No, she was impressive because of her godly disposition that she had. She had that relationship with the true and living God, the one who had saved her soul, the one who had given her a new nature, a new heart, a new outlook in life that stood out among others in that land. She was a follower and a faithful servant of the Lord. She had convictions. She had commitments that were unshakable. She had a personal relationship with the God of her salvation. How do we know this? Well, Jochebed, along with her husband, are enshrined in God's hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." This shows us that she was a child of God, not by natural generation, not by her Jewish roots, but by supernatural regeneration, by being born again by the Spirit of God and brought into the family of God. We find this in 1 John 10 and verse 13. The Lord Jesus established this great and glorious truth. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this was Jochebed. She was a follower of Jehovah. She followed him with her whole heart. In Exodus chapter 1, we have the background for the birth of Moses. He was born after those years of captivity. Hundreds of years had passed after the Hebrews had migrated to Egypt to escape the famine in the land. And we're told in Exodus chapter 12 that it was 430 years from the time they entered Egypt to the time they escaped through the Red Sea. And turn back there to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. And here we read the time in which Jochebed and her husband Amram lived. Exodus chapter 1 and the verse 6. And Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. The land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesh. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with vigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and a brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. There arose here a new king, we see, in the land. They didn't know Joseph. That generation passed away. They began to enslave the Hebrews, make them work hard, but they still grew, they still multiplied. The Lord blessed them abundantly. And as you look back upon the life of Joseph, it's wonderful to see the providence of God and how he protected and preserved him and the Hebrew children in that time of famine. But things are about to change for them. The tide has turned. And yet, in their awful misery here, as we see they're under bondage, God would still be in control, and God would finally begin the exodus of his people with the birth of Moses. So this birth was significant, and therefore this mother is significant. Before Moses was born, Pharaoh began to worry about some sort of revolt. These slaves would rise up against them, join other armies, and come and fight against them. And therefore, in order to end this problem, he brought in this law that all the male infants were to be killed as soon as they were born. And this is the alarming and dangerous time in which Jochebed and Amram, Moses' parents, lived. They already had children, Aaron and Miriam. And Jochebed was pregnant with Moses when the king sent forth this decree into the land. This was the command and law of Pharaoh, and it was enforced while Jochebed was carrying Moses. We read there in verse 15 of chapter 1. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. He said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then they shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. This was the Planned Parenthood of our day. This was the abortion slaughterhouse of our day. See, friends, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, we see abortion, we see the wickedness, how that in this land and all across this world there's been tens of millions of babies slaughtered, or far more, over 60 million in America alone have been slaughtered from Roe versus Wade. But this has been happening from the beginning of time, from the very fall of man, this wickedness, killing children. And sadly, it's done today under health care. And it was no different here in Pharaoh. Pharaoh was in charge of the land. He passed the law. And we live in a land when the government passes the law that you can go and kill your child and slaughter them. But here these two godly midwives, they refused. They refused to follow his command. And We thank God today for our Christian doctors and nurses and midwives who refuse to obey the law of the land. Yes, at the minute they may have those freedoms of choice, but the day may come when they don't. We need to be praying for them. And here these two midwives, they feared God. They feared God above Pharaoh. Pharaoh sought to stop the increase of the Hebrew population in this drastic way, to kill these children. And we think of years later how Herod the king sought to do something similar, kill all the male children under two and wipe out the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing new under the sun. But like Mary in that time, here Shipra, which means fair and beautiful, and Pua, whose name means splendid and glittering, in faith they refused to follow the orders of the king, and they feared God more than any earthly king. And there's a lesson for us, friends. We need to fear God more than anyone else. So often as Christians, we bow down and we fear man more than we fear God. Look at verse 17. They feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. They made this decision with great determination and conviction to trust God in such a predicament. You see, these two, when you think about these two women, they may as well have lost their life. Pharaoh may as well have come along and said, you've disobeyed my command, it's your life. But they feared God, they decided to stand for the Lord. And friends, how about you this morning? You say you're a Christian, but do you take a stand for the Lord? Do you succumb to the pressures of this life? Well, we need to stand for the Lord. Next Saturday, God willing, as we stand in front of the City Hall in Belfast, we're making that public declaration that we are standing for God, that God is King of our life. When Pharaoh found out what was happening, he confronted them and said, by the time we get there, these Hebrew women, they give birth very quickly. The children are already born and we can do nothing about it. And therefore, Pharaoh changed the decree that he charged all the people, saying, it's up to the people now. Once the child is born, you must bring your child and you must throw it into the river. There in verse 22 of chapter 1, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast in the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. We read in Proverbs 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. And surely what a deceitful and wicked work this is. You think of how a mother could do that. A newborn baby, bringing it to the edge of the riverbank and just throwing it into the river. Just like the way you'd throw bread in to feed the ducks or whatever in the river. Just throwing the little baby in to feed the sharks. Feed the fish. You really wonder how someone could do that, and yet it shows the depravity of the human heart, doesn't it? How wicked we are, how depraved we are, and we are no different from these women who follow this law. Before we were born again by the Spirit of God, we were no better than they are. Therefore, but for the grace of God go you and I. You think of the wickedness, this wicked decree. But then we read of how Jochebed and how Amram, they took a stand. And how did she take a stand against this decree? How did she do this? Well, we read the answer already in Hebrews 11:23, by faith. It was by faith. By faith they resisted the decree of Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh's decree was repulsive to Jochebed. It would have turned her stomach, and she was willing to defy Pharaoh because she was not willing to defy the commands of God. By faith, she hid Moses. By faith, this child that God had given to them, they hid for 3 months. Until they came to that place where they realized they could no longer hide him as they once did. You see, they fixed their eyes upon God. This woman, Jochebed, she willfully disobeyed Pharaoh's wicked command, and by faith she trusted in God, not one bit afraid of the consequences. And here is an application for you and I this morning. Just like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, remember how the king came and said, if you don't obey me, if you don't bow down to me, you're going to go into the fiery furnace. And he said, if our God, if it's his will, He will deliver us. But if not, we will not bow down. No matter what you do to us, we will not bow down. And here is Jochebed. She decided she was going to obey the God of heaven over the law of the land. And if it meant death, whatever it is, it didn't matter. And as mothers and fathers and grandparents here this morning, there will be times when we must disobey a man. Disobey a man and obey God. When it comes to school, comes to the teaching of transgenderism, comes to these wicked laws, when it comes to sodomy and abortion and evolution, all these things that are being foisted upon us, there is a time when we'll have to disobey. Disobey the law of the land and obey God, despite the consequences. And as parents, as mothers and fathers here this morning, we have a responsibility to obey God over man. And here we see Jochebed and her character. She was willing to do so. See, as we said already, her name means Jehovah is glorious. That's what her name means. She had heard and she had seen the glorious works of God and that had helped her to trust in him even among this difficult time in her life, this crisis. She believed in her heart that the glorious God of heaven would be with them, would deliver them. The sweet psalmist of Israel knew something of this glorious God. Notice these psalms, Psalm 66, verse 2. Sing forth the honour of his name, make his praise glorious. Psalm 111, verse 3. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Psalm 145, verse 5. I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Jochebed knew this blessed truth regarding God, her name shouted out, Jehovah is glorious. And God is not more glorious in her day or less glorious in our day. God continues to be glorious. He's the unchanging one. He is the unchanging one. And I am sure as Jochebed looked back to the hand of God in the life of the children of Israel and saw his hand upon them, she saw his wondrous works. She would have known of how Joseph had through Joseph, the Lord had provided for them in the midst of the wickedness of Egypt. She believed that God again would undertake for them even this difficult decision in her life. Her character. Notice secondly here, her child. Her child. Here in chapter 2 now begins the account of the birth of Moses. And there was a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. We're not told what Jochebed named her baby because the name Moses is given to him by Pharaoh's daughter. But what we do know is that by faith he trusted in God to take care of her son. We read that in Hebrews 11 and 23. She took him, and but she could hide him no longer. And she made that ark of bulrushes. She laid it of slime and with pitch and put it the child in and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And as a godly mother, she was concerned about her son. She conceived him. Now she will conceal him. And after 3 months, she could no longer hide him. Now, what made Jochebed think of sending Moses into the river in this vast, this little ark? Can you think of why she did this? Well, you think of the crocodiles in the river. You can think of the poisonous snakes in the river. You can think of, maybe as you looked in that river, there may even have been little babies floating down that river. It wasn't a safe place to put a child. What made her think to put the child in an ark in the river? Well, she trusted God by faith for a start. And faith is a necessary grace for mothers. By faith we are to entrust our children unto the Lord, to trust him, to believe him, to hope in him regarding our children. We commit them unto the Lord. That is why we practice dedication here in the church. We bring the children before the congregation, before God, and we make that oath, we make that covenant before man and before God that we will dedicate our children to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, to the house of the Lord. But here, I believe that Jochebed would have remembered the story of Noah's Ark. Maybe Hur and Amram were searching through the Old Testament scripture, which would have been the book of Genesis at that time, was all they would have had. And as they read, they would have come to this part where the scene of Noah and the ark, and how God provided protection even through the flood for Noah and for his family. And I can imagine them saying, "That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. We can't keep this child from going into the Nile. He's going into the Nile one way or the other, because he's going to be found out. But we'll put him into the river and make sure we get him into an ark." They begin to build the ark. They put him in the ark and set him in the river. And dear friend, dear parent this morning, dear mothers, dear fathers, that's exactly what you need to do for your children. You need to get them to the house of God. You need to get them to the children's meeting. You need to get them to the kids' meeting, to the junior youth fellowship, wherever it is. Get them to the house of God. Get them to church where they'll hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Win them to Christ at an early age. And young person, I'm saying that you, the only thing that will keep you safe in the rivers of this culture is that you are in the ark. You're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the rivers of this world will encompass you. The rivers of this world will overflow you. You'll drown in them. Unless you're in the ark, unless you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Christ who will carry you through your life. Christ will carry you through your troubles. He will shelter you from those difficulties. He will bring you through. And dear sinner this morning, it's Christ that you need. It's the ark that you need, because when you think of Noah, when you think of the floods as the rain came from heaven, that was the wrath of God raining down upon a wicked world. A world that was wicked, that grieved God. And as the wrath of God beat down upon that ark, there's a picture of Christ. There's Christ upon the cross. As God the Father pours out his wrath upon Christ on the cross, just as he poured out the rains from heaven upon that ark, Noah and his wife and family were safe inside that ark. Moses was safe in this ark here on the river. And you and I are safe today in Christ. Outside of Christ, we're not safe. Outside of Christ, we will drown in his wrath. We'll spend eternity in hell. Are you in the ark this morning? Are you trusting in Christ? We read here that he was a goodly child, proper child, an exceeding fair child. There was something special about this baby. Something different about this boy, Moses, different from his sister Miriam, different from his brother Aaron. And God revealed unto his mother, Jochebed, that this baby was different. And by faith, she reacted to that special revelation. She trusted God. And this is why they believed that God would preserve him in the ark. That God had a purpose for his life. I'm sure during those first 3 months, as they hid him there, they're constantly talking to one another what they will do. They also would have prayed about it. What will we do here? Seeking God to give them understanding, to guide them regarding their son and how they're going to protect him. This faithful mother, this faithful father, by faith, built their little ark and placed their baby boy in it and prayerfully released him into God's care and keeping. Friends, that's all we can do as parents this morning. Let's do all we can for them. Then release them into God's care and into God's keeping. Trusting God to honour our work and honour our faith and honour our trust in him. Notice thirdly, her commitment here. Jochebed committed her baby boy to the Lord as she placed him in that tiny ark and sent him away into the largest river in the world. And in her demonstration of faith here, she placed that 3-month-old in the ark, constantly believing God. She put all her faith and trust and hope in God. She knew that in herself, she did not possess the power to protect him, to save him. She knew that if she kept him in her home, that he would be found out and he would be sent to death and her neighbours. Sadly, those godless parents would have come along and would have sold her out. Would have told Pharaoh that there's a child in that home. There was danger everywhere. And that same river, which was the instrument of death for many baby boys, would be the instrument of Moses' life, as by faith he is put in that ark. Jochebed committed Moses into the hands of God as he floated down that river. Verse 3 says, "And when she could not No longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and of pitch, put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now as we see this baby going down this river, something wonderful happens. We see something wonderful here concerning God. We see God's marvellous grace and providential care at work here. Because we read in verses 4 to 6, and his sister at Miriam stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself in the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Was this just by chance? Was this just lucky that she came along here? That of all places that Pharaoh's daughter would go, it would be the place that Moses was lying in the ark? No, it was the providence of God at work. God is very much involved. His hands were upon that small ark, and he guided it directly into Pharaoh's daughter's palace. Was it by accident that Pharaoh's daughter came to wash herself at that particular time of the day? No, again, God's hand was even involved in that activity, even in among the godless. Even God's hand was upon the godless and directed her to that place. Was it by chance or by luck that little Moses here, when he cried, brought compassion upon this heathen woman's heart? How amazing. How amazing that this Hebrew child, you think of this, her father had sent out the decree, these children are to be destroyed. You'd think that any other daughter or son or anyone else belonging to that royal household would have kept that law, kept that decree. But see, even the babe's crying was in the providence of God. Because you have to think, if the child didn't cry, would she have had the same compassion upon him? Friend, you know what it's like when you hear a child cry. First thing you want to do is go to run and see what's wrong. There's that motherly instinct or fatherly instinct, that instinct to see what's wrong. And whenever she heard the child cry, she had compassion upon him. Even in the very providence of God, Moses' cry was used here. And here we see how the whole thing came together, that how Moses' mother, Jochebed, how her faith was rewarded. Because there's no baby formula in those days, and she needed someone to nurse this poor crying baby. And here Miriam comes and says to her, "Shall I go and get a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" She goes and gets her own mother. And I can imagine, as I'm sure you can, as Jochebed comes and lifts that little baby in her arms, I can see her lifting him up and smothering him with kisses and hugging him and praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for protecting him and for rewarding her faith, for trusting him, for her commitment unto the Lord. And what a blessing she even gets paid. What a wonderful thing that is. The Lord turned the whole thing around that she now gets paid to look after her own child. One final thought as we close. Notice her care. Her care. We've no idea whatsoever as to the length of time that Jochebed nursed and spiritually nourished Moses. Was common for a mother to nurse her children from age of 2 to 5. In other words, she knew in her heart she only had a limited amount of time. Very short, limited of time to teach him and to share with him about the great God of heaven. And there's a lesson for us this morning also. We have a very, very short time with our children. A very short time to teach them and to share with them about the God of the Bible. If we don't teach them about God and his grace, his mercy, his love and salvation, then the world will teach them. And the world is teaching them. The world has them for 6-7 hours every day. They're among their friends and their world, among the world. And we have a limited time to instruct them in the things of God, to hopefully help them become followers of Christ, or else they'll become followers of this godly worldly society that hates God. Therefore, even as we have the children in Sabbath school and children on Tuesday evening, we have a limited time. We've seen that. Some have drifted off, but used to come. No longer have an interest to go to secondary school. Don't have the same desire to come. Don't want to come. You know, they don't have the interest in the things of God, and we have a limited time. Let's use that time wisely. And here before Moses would go to live in the palace, Jochebed would teach him and instill in his heart and mind the great truths and teachings of God. She would tell him about creation. She would tell him about the fall. She would tell him about Abel and Enoch and Noah and the flood and the Tower of Babel and Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, 12 sons of Jacob. All this, Joseph, to teach him all these things. The history of the people of God and about Jehovah. She would have cultivated his mindset regarding the things of God. She cultured him with the truths of God and his people. And Moses would have remembered. You know, a study has been made that children by the age of 3 or 4 can have a retention of 50%. And, you know, many children, and I'm sure you can testify, and I can look back to children's meetings and Sunday school, and I can remember verses I learned in Sunday school and children's meetings. And children retain so much more than we give them credit for. Even at the meetings on Tuesday night, you think they're not listening to what I'm saying. They're making noise, they're doing this, the other, and you ask a question, they answer straight away. Because they retain so much. Their minds are like sponges. And here, Moses was taught the things of God, and those seeds were planted in his heart and mind by his mother. And these seeds one day would sprout into greatness. Sad that one day she finally heard the news that she greatly dreaded. The orders arrived at the home that Moses would be finally moved into the palace of the king. And I'm sure Jochebed cried her heart out as she heard those chariot wheels coming up the drive of her little home. She knew the day had come. Well, she knew it was coming. She may have prayed and hoped that it wouldn't come, but she knew in her heart of hearts that one day that they would come from Moses. Yet the mother of Moses here knew that God had a plan for her son and that the word of God never returns void. Little did she know that one day in the future her own son would write this story in Exodus. Yeah, he would write the first 5 books of the Bible. Yes, to believe she knew in her heart that her son was special, Jochebed's faith followed Moses all the day of his life. Oh, to God that our faith would follow our children all the days of their lives. No doubt Moses was blessed with a godly mother who prayed for Moses every day or for life. And mothers, let me say to you, I know that perhaps sometimes you feel you're not special or that you're not important. And we live in a society where, you know, being a parent, being a mother, well, you're looked down upon, really, aren't you? Women are encouraged to have careers, and if someone asks you what's your occupation and you say you're a wife and a housewife or a mother, they'd probably laugh at you. But this is God's ordained means. And the role of a mother has such an importance in the plan of God. It's God's way. It's God's way. So never think that you're not important. Never think that your role is insignificant. Because God has given you a privileged role. An important role. You might say, God's never going to use me as a missionary. You might say, God's not going to, you know, send me in this higher calling than others have. Let me say to you, you have a high calling as a mother. To pray for your children, to instruct them in the things of God, to look after them, to nurture them, to mold them, to teach them. And your children are your mission field. Your children are your mission field. What a high calling as a mother. What a privilege. What an honour to teach and instruct your children in the ways of God. There's nothing more glorious than that. Never feel insignificant. Never feel that you're second class in comparison to maybe to women who have a career. There's nothing wrong with working. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with if you have a job outside of the home. I don't mean that. But don't feel insignificant if your only role in your life is as a mother and a housewife. May the Lord bless you for that. May the Lord encourage you for that. May God help you to be the mother he wants you to be, and may he help us to be fathers and parents as the Lord wants us to be, that we would instruct and teach our children in the ways of the Lord. We would be faithful fathers and mothers. The Lord would use us to be a blessing to our children, that we would bring them up in the nurture and admonition and the fear of the Lord, that we would not bow down to the laws of the land, bow down to what the government and what society tells us that is right for our children, but rather we would use the manual God has given us, his precious word. If we bring our children up in the ways of the Lord and trust them into his care, commit them unto him just like Jacob did with Moses, we have done our part, and we'll leave them with the Lord, that he be pleased to save them and to use them and bless them. The Lord bless all the mothers here this morning. We thank the Lord for you all. We thank you for your service here in the church. The children should thank you also. Pray, Lord, will bless us all as we serve together in his will. Lord, be pleased to use us for his eternal glory. Let's close our meeting just in a word of prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we do thank you for this faithful mother. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her testimony. Thank you for the character she had. We thank you for her commitment to the things of God. We thank you for her care for her son. Lord, we thank you for the courage she showed even in the midst of a wicked land and regime. And Father, we pray that you'll help us as fathers and mothers to be thus faithful, that we would not bow down to the culture in which we live. Lord, that we would bring our children up according to thy word. Lord, even though the world may laugh at us and mock us, Lord, help us to do what is right before thy eyes. Father, bless our children. May they be thankful for the mothers they have. May they rise up and call them blessed. Oh, Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to be brought up in a Christian home. Lord, the children here, Lord, they should be thankful for that. And how often we were never thankful for the blessing of that, to be brought up in such an environment where we're brought to the house of God, where we're taught the things of God. And Father, may our children realize the blessings they have. And may they learn from their parents, and that when they come to be parents themselves, that they will practice what they have been taught. O Father, bless us as the band of thy people. Bless us, Lord, in thy service. And Lord, even this morning, even as we think of that picture of the ark, if there's some in the midst this morning who are outside of Christ, who are not saved, who've never come and trusted in the ark of their salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, that even this morning will be the morning they will come before the wrath of the Holy God would fall upon them, and they would perish in the sea of their sin. O Lord, have mercy, we ask of thee. The Lord bless our time this morning. Undertake for us throughout this day. Bless us this evening once again as we come to the house of God. Encourage us, Lord, in the work. We ask and pray it all in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.